Isaiah chapter 43, let's follow the reading of God's precious word together in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. And let's follow the God's precious word as we read it together. Just a few verses in this passage of God's word at the beginning. And then we turn to verse 22. That's Isaiah chapter 43 and commencing to read at the verse number 1. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Verse number 22. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou offered me with thy honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible word for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening, that we come to the end of this service of thanksgiving for the 35 years that thou hast given us this building upon this hill. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to continue to be faithful in the proclamation of thy truth. And even tonight, Lord, that thou wilt open thy word to our hearts and bless thy word to our souls. And so, Lord, I pray in Jesus' precious name that thou wilt empty me of everything of sin and everything of self, and that thou wilt fill me with the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. And to this end, O God, I take that promised Holy Ghost, that blessed power of Pentecost to fill the preacher to the uttermost. I take, Lord, please undertake for me, for I pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want us to keep this 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah open before us this evening, and I want to bring a word from the Lord in a particular verse. The verse, in actual fact, is the verse 25. It says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Isaiah chapter 43 is certainly a very personal chapter for me, because it was through the opening verses that God called me and God led me into his service. And certainly Isaiah chapter 43 in those opening verses certainly has a very special place in my heart. God gave me the assurance of calling me into his service. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. And you know, whenever God gives you promises and words like that, it's always good, no matter how often, no matter how far down the journey of life you are, it's always good to go back to the promises that God gave you at the first. In actual fact, I tell you, it's not only good to go back to them, quite often we're driven back to them. And of course, whenever we face the situations of life that are difficult, and God gives us back the promises, he said, not only has he redeemed us, he said, when thou passest through the waters, God says, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What promises that God has given to us as his redeemed people. And you know, we're driven back to those promises to find our comfort in the word of the Lord. Now, we see this chapter here. God is dealing with a totally unworthy people, and he brings them into a saving relationship with himself. And of course, Whenever we say that concerning Israel and Jacob, we can certainly say that concerning us. Because every one of us tonight that are saved, God dealt with us as a totally unworthy people. But he brought us into a saving relationship with himself. And friend, as I read this passage of God's word, in these opening verses I see, and even the text that I want to leave with you, I see the amazing grace of God, how that God deals with us in an amazing grace. Praise God, we can find here, even I, the Lord says, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. You know, the little hymn writer says, naught have I gotten, but what I receive, grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. And whilst it's true that God is dealing here with a people totally unworthy, living in rebellion against God, yet God promises the mighty grace of his forgiveness. God promises to forgive those who repent of their sin. God promises to forgive us our sin. And praise God, he not only promises that, but he promises to wipe out the record forever of the sins of his blood-bought people. And I want you to grasp this evening. There are three simple thoughts that I want to leave in this text with you this evening. First of all, if you look with me from verse number 22 of Isaiah chapter 43, we see their wretchedness, their wickedness, or their wretchedness. Now, notice what God talks about here in verse 25. He says, he speaks about thy transgressions. And then he talks about thy sins. And if you look at verse 24, the last word, thine iniquities. Now, isn't it interesting that God used three different words? God spoke about their transgressions, God spoke about their sins, and God spoke about their iniquities. In actual fact, that reminds me of Psalm 51, because the psalmist acknowledged those three things. In the Psalm 51, when he was crying out in repentance and returning to the Lord, he acknowledged his transgressions. He said, my sins are ever before me, and that God had not dealt with them according to his iniquities. And so we find here different words that sum up the wretchedness or sum up the wickedness of man's heart. Now, is there any difference in those words? Well, first of all, the word transgressions. God says in verse 25, he said, I will blot out thy transgressions. You know, friends, let me tell you, to transgress, you know, that is to go where God does not permit you to go. And so we find there is nothing honorable about man's sin. Because whenever we transgress, we are in rebellion against God. And what God is speaking here about thy transgressions, he's speaking about their rebellion, he's talking about their deliberate disobedience, their willful disobedience, their premeditated evil. They set themselves against the lawful authority of God. And that's what God saw in their hearts. God said, you are in rebellion against my lawful authority. And we'll see that as we see the charge that God makes to his people. Then you'll notice he not only uses thy transgressions, he uses the word iniquities. It says in there, verse 24, he says, thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. That speaks of the perverseness of the evil that we commit in our hearts. The word there is twisted. Twisted. It means warped from the straight line of right. You see, God says, thou shalt. And God says, thou shalt not. But the sad reality is this, that man, he goes his own way. He has turned to his own way, and instead of walking the straight line of right, what God says, thou shalt and thou shalt not, and God demands complete and absolute obedience, man, in the perverseness of his heart and in the twistedness of his heart, He warps that straight line of God's command, and he goes in his own sinful way. And God says, you know, you weary me with your iniquities. And then you notice God speaks about something else. He speaks about their transgressions. He speaks about their iniquities. And then he speaks about their sins. And the word there is missing the mark. You see, to be off target. You see, they miss the mark. God has given us the mark, and God has told us what we must do. But the Bible says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. There is not a man in this world tonight, but the Word of God says that we all have sinned. Yes, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark. We are off target. It's the idea of habitual evil in our hearts. Now, I want you to notice here, God says he noted their transgressions, not their transgression, because there were many of them. He says, I notice your sins, not your sin, because there were many of them. There were many times that man has missed the mark. He has gone off target. There is many times in the perverseness of his heart, he has gone his own twisted way, and he has warped from the straight line of that which is right, which God has given. And then God speaks about thy transgressions. Thy transgressions, thine iniquities, thy sins. You see, they're all in the plural, because there's not one of us in our hearts and our lives, friend. It's not only we have sinned, we have sinned so many times. We have not only transgressed, we have transgressed so many times. We have not only have iniquities, but there are so many iniquities in our hearts. And God speaks to them concerning their wretchedness. Now, the Bible tells us that man makes a mock of sin. You see, we live in a day and an age, instead of people being concerned about their sin, they make a laugh of their sin. They make a joke about their sin, that somehow that they can sin and get away with it. And yet the Bible says that fools make a mock of sin. Friend, I want to tell you tonight that every sin, that's what David said. Listen to what David said in Psalm 51, speaking about all of those things. He said, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and did this iniquity in thy sight. You see, every sin in reality is against God. Our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions are against God. Now, it is true that we can sin against others. We can sin against our family. We can sin against our friends. We can sin against our neighbors. We can sin against our wives and our husbands and our children. We can sin against them. But remember, basically and primarily, all of our sins are against God. We're sinning against God. Do you not see the seriousness of that? Do you not know how serious that is, friend? Sin is not something to be mocked at or laughed at or scoffed at or played with. Sin is a serious thing, because our sins and our transgressions and our iniquities are so great. They are sins against God. Now, the Bible tells us if we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And it is so possible for some person to say, well, you know, whenever you're talking about sin, that's somebody else. It says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And what an awful reality that there's someone tonight that thinks that their sin is not really, it's not bad, it's not evil, and God doesn't take note of it because I have no sin, that somehow that I'm different or better than everybody else. Friend, if you're here in this meeting tonight and you think that you have no sin to be forgiven, you have no sin to be pardoned, you have no sin to be cleansed, then I want to tell you what God says. God says you're deceiving yourself. In other words, you're lying to yourself. God says you're pulling the wool over your own eyes, you're deceiving yourself, and I'll tell you this, my friend, the day when you stand before God and God opens the book and God reveals your sin, I want to tell you, you're up for a wakener. You're going to get an eye-opener that you that have told yourself, listen, I'm not the sinner. I have no sin. I don't need to be saved. I don't need my sins pardoned. I don't need to come to the blood of Christ for cleansing because I'm different than everybody else. Friend, let me tell you, don't be a fool tonight. Don't be a fool. Don't deceive your heart. Don't lie to your own soul. What an awful thing to lie to your own soul and go out to hell and be lost for all eternity. The Word of God says, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then God in that first John chapter 1 and verse number 10, he goes on to say, if we say that we have not sinned, not only do we deceive ourselves, but if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. We're calling God a liar. You say, I wouldn't dare do that. Let me tell you, my friend, if you say you have not sinned, you are. Do you know why you're calling God a liar? Because God says all have sinned. In Romans 3, verse 23, there is no difference. There is no difference. God says all have sinned. Now, if you say, I have no sin, then you're calling God a liar because God says you have. And I want to tell you, my friend, not only is God saying that you have sinned, God has a record of every one of them, as we'll see just in a moment or two. God has a record of every one of your sins, every last one of them. And so it's important that you do not fool yourself and you do not lift your fist in the face of an almighty God and say, listen, I don't need to be saved. I don't need to be pardoned. I don't need to get ready for heaven because I'm going to heaven because I'm just good enough. I'm different. I have no sin. Even though God says I've sinned, I'm saying to God, no, God, you're wrong. In other words, you're saying, God, you're a liar. My friend, tell me this. On the day of judgment, who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to be is the one that's going to prove whether you're sinned? When you stand at the judgment throne of God, I'll tell you 1 second at the throne of God, my friend, if you could measure it like that, I'll tell you, you'll not need another second to prove that you're a sinner when God opens the book and God reveals your heart. Now, I want you to notice what God says about their sin. Look at verse 22 very quickly, friend. It says here, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. There's the first thing that God says about them. God says, you have not called upon me. Now, let me tell you about the Jews, friend. The Jews were a very practical people. They were an active people. They were an energetic people. There's something about a Jew that has always been known. They've been always hardworking. They've been busily employed, whether in commerce, whether in handicraft, whether it be in agriculture. They're a hardworking people. And what God's saying here is this, ye have not called upon me. In other words, God's saying that whilst you have all these things about your life, your hard working and you're busily employed, listen, God is charging them of living independent of God. In other words, they're living their life with no sense of the need of God. They have all that they need. And friend, I tell you tonight, Ulster people are the same. Ulster people are like the Jewish people. They are a hard-headed people. They're an active people. They're an energetic people. They're a hard-working people. They're busily employed in the things of this world. But my friend, they are just like as God charged Israel here and God charged Jacob. God says, you have not called upon me. Why? Because you live independent life. You feel you have no need of God. There is no desire for fellowship with God. They didn't want God to come into the midst of their life. God was going to interrupt their living if God was to come into the midst of their living. And my friend, that is just like so many people in this district in which we're living. The vast majority of people, friend, they are so self-centered and they're living for themselves that they put God out of their minds. They don't want to think about God. God would only be an interruption. God would be an interruption in their lives. They just want to live the lives that they want to live. Do you remember the rich man in the scriptures? He says, I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and I will say to my soul. So thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He didn't want God. He didn't need God. He had no sense of the need of God. He didn't need to call on God. But friend, let me tell you, in the midst of all this self-centeredness, the Word of God says, God said, you're only a fool. Because you're living for self, and yet God says, I have set eternity in your heart. You're not living for time because you're headed to eternity. And friend, whether you want the intervention of God in your life or not, whether you see a sense of the need of God in your life, I want to tell you this. 1 second after death, you realize, I needed the Lord. I needed the Lord. And friend, you need to realize that now. Don't, in God's name, don't go out to hell. Don't go out to die in your sin. And my live for self and industry and my all the things that you're building around you, just to leave them all. That man is so much, he didn't know what to do with it. And God said, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And then God says, who shall those things be? You see, friend, he was going to leave the things behind. And I want to tell you, people are digging down into this world. My, they're wanting to get everything there is of this world. And of itself, there's nothing wrong in being industrious. There is nothing wrong in people to try their best to make it in this world. But I say this in God's name, friend. Don't forget, you are set for eternity. Don't forget you're headed to eternity. You need the Lord. And here was the people, and they had room for pleasure. They had room for business, but there was no room for Christ. And I fear there's people listening to me tonight, and that's just you, friend. You're going through your life, and I want to tell you, from one weekend to the next, and you're just living for what you can grab and for what you can get, and you have room for pleasure, and you most certainly have room for business. But I want to tell you this, where's Christ in your heart? Where is Christ in your life? Where have you for the Lord tonight? And God says here to Jacob, thou hast not called upon me. They turned from God's mercy and God's pardon and God's love and God's peace and God's gospel. Friend, to tell you the truth, they just turned from God because they didn't need him. Now notice what God says. Not only, he says, have you not called upon me? Look at verse 22. He says, thou hast been weary of me. Thou hast been weary of me. And then I want to tell you, they became weary of hearing about the Lord. They became weary of hearing about him. And you know, there's so many people, and I want to tell you, they have a gospel upbringing. And yet they're not saved. And I want to tell you, friend, they turn their back upon the gospel preaching house because they're weary of hearing about the Lord. They're just weary at hearing about the Lord. They're weary of God. Listen, they have a religion, they participate in a formal and a ceremonial and a realistic thing, but in reality, whilst they do that, they have no heart for God. No heart for God. What an empty soul man is. Because I tell you, my friend, he has no room for the Maker, the one who made him. He has no place in his heart for the one who has given him breath and the one who has the power to call that breath from his body. And yet he has no time for God. And he not only has no time for him, in actual fact, he thinks that this religion business, it's a waste of time. He's weary of the things of God. It's pointless. And friend, to be honest, I want to tell you, there's people who sometimes come to church and I want to say before God, this religion business is a burden. God's house and his praises and prayer and all of those things. In reality, if they were honest before God, there's people and they're tired of it. They're tired of it because they've no heart for God. And God and the gospel, it's only a burden. I want to tell you, my friend, there'll come a moment in your existence, and it may be an eternity, friend. It may not be in time. It may be in eternity. There will come a moment, friend, and you will have time for him, but there will be no place for you of repentance. God says, I have called, and he said, you have refused. God says, I have stretched out my hand, but you just pushed it away. No man regarded it. They just felt it was pointless. They just pushed God's hand away. They didn't want God's hand upon their lives. And then God says this. He says, then shall ye call. And God says, I'll not answer. The day when God turns the table, friend. And I want to tell you, God's boss. God's the Almighty One. God's the one that's in control of everything. And if God withdraws life from you in 1 second, friend, you're out into God's eternity. And everything you've built your life upon, it's gone. And the light of God's eternity is empty. It's nothing. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes says. Emptiness of emptiness, all's empty. All's empty, said the preacher. There was no reality in their religion. Yes, God said in verse 23, God says, you have not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Friend, notice what God says in verse 24. He says, thou hast wearied me. That's when the table turns. That's when the tide turns, friend. God says, listen, you're weary of me. God says, thou hast wearied me. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. God says, I'm tired with your sin. I'm tired with your sinning. And yet, friend, let me tell you, God in love and God in grace and God in love and mercy, God doesn't step immediately in with judgment. But God will one day step in judgment. Just because God hasn't cut you off, friend, doesn't mean that God's pleased with you. Just because God Almighty hasn't, my friend, just closed his ear to your cry to this day. Listen, it doesn't mean that God will not close his ears one day. God says, then ye shall call, but I'll not answer. One day the unrepentant sinner will be faced with the full weight of God's justice and God's judgment. But thank God, God calls in grace. In the opening part of Isaiah chapter 43, he says, I have called thee by thy name. And thank God now he's speaking to those who have repented. And God has called us by our name. He called us personally. And thank God he says, thou art mine. It's great to be saved. It's great to know, friend, that your sins are forgiven. And that's what I want to turn to very quickly tonight as it closes. Notice not only their wretchedness, but notice their wealth. Notice the blessing that God gives to his people. And I want you to come with me tonight because I want to tell you what the Lord has promised that he has done for me, not he will do for me, but what God has promised that he has done for me in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 25, and he says this, even I, this is Jehovah God, friend. God says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Oh, the blessing that God brings. You see, God deals with the totality of their sin. And there's two things that God promises them. Do you notice them? God says here, he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. That is that God removes our sins from the record. God removes them from a record. I sing a wee hymn sometimes, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. In the book of life, they've been all blotted out. I don't remember them anymore. God removes removes our sins from the record. And you know, that is a wonderful thing. But here's a solemn thing, friend. Listen, if it's true that God blots out our transgressions when we come to Christ, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, do you not see the other side of that? If it is true that God blots out our transgressions from the record, do you not realize that God keeps the record, dear sinner? God is keeping a record on you. I know, friends, that we live in a society that just seems the big daddy state or government is watching you. No matter what you do, that somehow there's the eyes of the state upon you, and they're watching you, and they're recording everything they can about you. I want to tell you, my friend, you don't need to worry about that. I want you to realize that God's watching you. The eyes of God are upon you. And the record of God is the record of your life. Your sins have not been overlooked. In the book of Revelation, it says this, and the books were opened. The books were opened. And in the books, my friend, in the book of God, there is a record of your life, dear unconverted soul. When you stand at the great white throne of God's judgment, you face the record of God, the record of your sins. I saw the dead small and great, Revelation chapter 20. I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, listen, according to their works. In other words, God is the record of your life. In the record of God Almighty, friend, though you might think that nobody knows, I want to tell you, God even says, every idle word you shall give an account thereof on that day. And on the day when you stand before God at the judgment center, you'll face your sin someday. Listen, all of it. All of it. And you'll find on that day that none of your sin was overlooked by God. And I wondered, you know, as I thought about that, listen, how can the sinner rest at night? How can the ungodly man put his head upon the pillow at night and go to sleep, knowing that God could call him out to meet him? And God could say, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. How can you go on, sinner, with the inevitable fact of meeting God someday? And whenever you meet God, meet the record of God that God has of all your sins. But you see, when God saves a man, when God saves a woman, when a person repents of their sin and turns from their sin and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what God promises to do. God promises to blot out. What's God saying, friend? God's saying he'll wipe the record clean. Hallelujah. He says, I wipe the record clean, every sin. Let me tell you, my friend, every sin had got to be dealt with. Every sin at the cross. The price of the totality of my sins, the price of my redemption was paid in full. That's what he sang a moment ago. It's paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. God is not going to have to overlook any sin. Thank God the record's clean. The record has been wiped clean. And because he says that our transgressions, he will blot them out. Hallelujah, that means that there's no need for punishment. The punishment has been removed because God punished all my sin in Christ. He bore my sin upon the cross of Calvary. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow, they'll be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. The record of God's child, friend, listen to me tonight. Hallelujah, the record's clear. The record's clean through the blood of Christ. There is nothing there to stand against us. Look in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22. This is what God says. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeem thee. Dear unconverted person, your sin stands between you and God tonight. And God will not look in favor upon your sin. But praise God, he looks in favor upon his child because we stand in Christ. And God looks in favor on us. Let me tell you, not only does God say here in verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, he says this, and will not remember thy sins. Friend, here's a second thought. God removes our sins from the record. Hallelujah! He does something else. He removes our sins from his remembrance. He removes our sins from his remembrance. He said, I will not remember thy sins. You know that in our hearts, there are things in our lives that we cannot forget. You know that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And friend, let me tell you, in every one of our hearts, in every one of our lives, there are things that we're not proud of. And we're not, we realize that, my, we can remember. We remember, and I tell you, that remembrance of it, it grieves our hearts. But God says, I will not remember your sins anymore. He will never hold us to account for our sins. You say to me, preacher, but how can God do that? Isn't God an all-knowing God? Isn't he an omniscient God? He knows everything. That is true. And yet God says he will never hold our sins against us. Why and how can God do that? How can God remove from his remembrance our sins? I'll tell you why. Because of Calvary. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, friend, Christ bore our sins upon his own body on the tree. He carried the full weight of our sins. And there in the cross of Calvary, Christ shed his precious blood, and Christ finished the work of our redemption. And there on the cross, Christ cleared the record. Nothing to be remembered, because behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. He taketh away our sin. In the book of Psalms 103, verse 12, it says this. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He didn't say as far as the north is from the south, because that is a measurable distance. But praise God, he says, as far as the east is from the west, no man can measure it. It is the immeasurable distance. God says, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. We don't bear them anymore. We don't carry them anymore. Don't let the devil terrorize you for your past, my friend. Whenever you come to Christ and repent of your sin, your past is under the blood. It is under the blood, never to be remembered against you anymore. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, he says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah, no more. Does God mean that? Hallelujah, he does. I want to tell you, my friend, I'm not preaching a partial forgiveness. I'm preaching a total forgiveness for our sins in the cross. Work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, the work is finished. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He bare them in his own body on the tree. Hallelujah. He cleared the record. He paid the debt in full. And I can stand tonight. And that's why Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Thank God the condemnation is passed. Why? Because Christ took it all. That's the gospel. My friend, I want to tell you, that's the gospel that this country needs. That's the message, because it's the only gospel. Are you here tonight under the load of your sin? Are you carrying a heavy load? Is there guilt of the sins of the past? You say, preacher, if people only knew the depths of sins that I have walked in, If they knew the dark path that I have walked, they wouldn't even sit beside me. They wouldn't want to be associated with me. Let me tell you, my friends, Christ did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And praise God, you can be saved tonight. Thank God your sins can be forgiven under the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from, what's the next wee word? All sin. All. He didn't deal with part of it at the cross. He dealt with our sins in totality at the cross. And he paid the last price, yes, the last. Finished the work, and thank God he paid it all. Paid it in full at the cross of Jesus Christ. The story is told of Martin Luther. When God saved Luther and he got released from the darkness and superstition of Rome, and he saw and beheld the glorious light of the gospel, that justification was by faith in Jesus Christ. But man, the old devil came after him when he was seeking to study and seeking to work for God. And the old devil would taunt Luther about his past and about his sin. And so he'd say, listen, you say you're a child of God, but how can you be? Look, there's your past. And he started to remind him about some of his past. And friend, just like ours, we would bow our head in shame when he thought of his past. And then he turned to the devil and he said, is that them all? Oh, no, says the devil, that's not them all. There's plenty more. And he started to remind him. Well, he says, bring them on. Started to remind him of some more of his sins. And then Luther said to him, he says, is that them all? Oh, no, he said, they're not them all. Well, he says, tell me the rest of them. Until the devil got exhausted by telling Luther of his past and of his sins. And then he says, Luther, what do you got to say for that? Now you say you're a child of God. And Luther just walked forth and he wrote these words. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. You know, my friends, let me tell you, when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, not only were all of my sins personally were future sins, but Christ died for them all. You see, God knows not only the present, but God knows everything. The all-knowing God. And yet God tells me this, and I stand amazed tonight. And I just praise the Lord for this. What the accuser roar of things that I have done, he tells me of this and many more, Jehovah findeth none. Why? Because thank God Jesus dealt with them all at the cross of Calvary. Every last one of them. Maybe there's someone here tonight and now the old devil's torturing you about your past. And you can't forget your past. I want to tell you tonight, child of God, if you're really saved tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you let the old devil take away your joy and your happiness in Jesus Christ. Because this is what God says. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. I am he that will not remember. He says, I will not remember thy sins. I want to tell you this, my friend. No man can forgive your sins. You needn't go into a priest and ask him to forgive your sins, because I want to tell you, he's a liar. He can't do it. Thank God there is the blessed Lord Jesus. And he can say honestly, Father, I died for all of those sins. Shed my blood for every last one of them. That's why Romans 8:33 says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The answer is no. Nobody. Am I the old devil as the accuser? But praise God, I, even I am he. Listen, it's only the hand of God, friend. It's only the hand of God can blot out your sins. Thank God he cleanses the record, the sole and sovereign source of forgiveness. Listen to these words. I, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgression. It's only the Lord. Friend, that's the one you need tonight. You need the Lord. Man can't wipe out your past or your present. And man can't give you hope for the future. But praise God, I the Lord am he. And here's the last thought. We've talked about the wretchedness. We've thought about the wealth. Here's the wisdom. Listen, why does God do that? Look at verse 25 again. He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out transgressions for mine own sake. For mine own sake. And will not remember thy sin. Purely out of the love. Purely out of the love that I bear thee, saith the Lord. There was nothing in you to merit this. There is nothing in you, my friend, to make you worthy. But God says, I did it for my own sake, for my own glory, and the glory of my sons. I'm doing it for the merit of Christ's sake. You know, there's an amazing little thought here as I finish tonight. In John chapter 17, it's the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time I go to this, I am absolutely amazed. The Lord Jesus is praying to his Father before the cross, and this is what he says, verse 23. He says, I in them and thou in me, he's talking about his people, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And here's the wee line. That the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Isn't that amazing tonight? You know how much God's love is for me tonight? He loves me the same way as he loves his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, nothing can expound the glory of God's love and God's mercy and God's peace than this. God says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sin. Why go on in your sin, friend? Why carry that burden of sin when, thank God, the burden can be lifted? And you can have the joy of the Lord. You know, when God saves a soul, he does it for the glory of his name and the glory of his son. Oh, I pray tonight that God will be glorified in the salvation of your precious soul. And that you might know that God removes it from the record, your sins. And God will remove it from his remembrance. And whilst he says, I'll remember your sins no more, God says this, but I'll never leave thee. Hebrews 13:5. And I'll never forsake thee. My, what a friend we have in Jesus.